we're still in the topic of love, and I'm still stuck there because God is love, and I haven't figured out anything that's more important to talk about than God and His love. When you think about it, God is love. And if God is love, and our heart and everything we have and all of our thoughts should be towards God, then God being love, that should be everything to us. I mean, is there any reason to move on to anything else? Is there any reason to talk about anything else? And so when we talk about love, one of the things, the reasons we're using 1 Corinthians 13 is because we're getting the opportunity to see what love is and what love is not. And so that helps us to see what God is and what God is not. Because a lot of times people will attribute things to God that He is not. But in their mind, they will say, see, this is how God is, and that's why I don't want to believe. And that's why I don't understand Christianity. That's why I don't want anything to do with your religion. And they go down that path because they've taken this attribute that doesn't have anything to do with God, assigned that to God, and then said, based on this truth, I'm going to base all my opinions and decisions based on that. And so you start with a lie. Everything else you build on that is going to take you in a bad direction. And so we need to find these things out, what God is, what God is not, what love looks like and what doesn't it look like. And this week we're going to look at love is not rude. Of course, I did the same thing with this that I've done with all the other ones. Just start off with, what does rude mean? And I was kind of taken aback by some of the descriptions, and we'll break that down a little bit. This is what it gave me. I think I just Googled it or whatever. Rude means discourteous, impolite, rough in manners or behavior, harsh or ungentle. My personal favorite, lacking the graces and refinement of civilized life. It also means lacking education or knowledge. Unlearned or ill-mannered. It's like a mouthful when you start talking about this word, rude. We think of it in a very simplistic way a lot of times. And a couple of examples. I had a coupon for coffee or something like that. So I stop in the gas station that was offering it, you know, a free cup of coffee, and kind of hard to figure out which coffee that particular coupon applies to, whatever. So you make the coffee and you take the coupon up there. Oh, that's not what that coupon is for. That's the wrong one. Okay, show me what it is. And well, it's this one. I don't know if it was bigger or smaller. It doesn't make any difference. That one. Okay, so I'll take that one, make my coffee, go over there. Here's the coupon. And I guess you're going to throw the other one away because I didn't know. And okay, so the person was rude to the point of, you know, it's going to cost them something. But being rude was more important. It's like, okay, there's a good example of being, you know, discourteous, that being impolite or rough in manners. I told you about the time that Monica took something back to Walmart. There's nothing wrong with the product. It just doesn't do what we thought it was going to do. Well, we can't take that back. There's nothing wrong with it. You have to keep that. But we're not satisfied with it. Well, if people to return everything that they weren't satisfied with, what are we supposed to do? Well, you actually need to talk to your supervisor, because right above your head is the sign that says satisfaction guaranteed. So either take the satisfaction guaranteed sign down and then turn us away, or if you're going to stand under the satisfaction guaranteed sign, then we're not satisfied, so take the product back. But it's just that idea of being rude, you know? It's being impolite, discourteous, rough in manners, just harsh, you know? Do people really think about that? I wasn't going to share this one. I told God He'd have to bring it. I didn't even put it in my notes, but He'd have to bring it back to my remembrance for me to do this, because I really want to call it out. Typically, I don't, you know, yeah, I use Walmart, but Monica and I went into Culver's years ago, several years ago, and again, you know, you got a coupon, you buy a meal, you get half off or whatever, so we use the coupon, sit down, have our dinner, And she had a free ice cream cone, coupon for a free ice cream. So we went up there, and I ordered a 2-scoop, and she put the coupon down for her 1-scoop ice cream, and she goes, you know, the 1-scoop is like $3, and for a 2-scoop, it's like $4, whatever. It's custard. And it's like she goes, well, here's for the free 1-scoop, and she goes, just tack on the extra dollar to make it 2 scoops. And the manager that was there came over and had a fit and said, no, you're going to pay for the 1 scoop, the $3, and then this free one will be the additional scoop. And it's like, well, that's not what the coupon says. She had a fit. She had a meltdown. The girl working behind the register was just, she felt so bad. I mean, this manager almost had her in tears. So finally, it's just like, fine, whatever. We'll just do 1 scoop each, and, you know, the coupon for one, and that's that. So the girl goes over, and she goes, I'm really sorry. I'm really talking under her breath because she doesn't want the manager, this assistant manager. The manager was so rude to her. She was just really mean. And so she goes over and gets our custard and brings it over. The manager sees the cups and says, that's too much, Mama, and just starts screaming at her. Now again, you know, making her feel bad, all the people in the restaurant are looking at this manager just going off on her employee. Takes the cups full of ice cream, you put too much in there, and flings them in the garbage and makes her redo it because that was too much. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, what did I say? One of the things, what, lacking education or knowledge? Well, you know, those things start to show up when you go rude. You start to see the lack of education or knowledge. Well, long story short, you know, Monica is one of those that doesn't take that stuff lightly. So she actually wrote corporate office on that. They got a hold of somebody over there who called us and said, please come in, mention my name, and we're going to give you free dinner just as our way of apologizing. So we're like, you know, that's not why we did it. She didn't call. She just wanted people to know what's going on over there. So we're like, you know what? We got nothing going on. So we went back to the restaurant. We went back over there and said, such and such. And they go, absolutely. What do you like? Anything you want, you know? So they got us chicken dinner, whatever it was. Custard, the whole deal, right? Come over, sitting at the table, and a gentleman walks over. And he saw, how is everything? I said, great, thank you. He goes, I apologize for what happened, and I will take care of that. I am the franchise owner, and that is not who we are. That is not the way we treat people here, and this manager will go through some training so that they come in line with the attitude of our chain, our restaurant chain. I'm like, wow, that was really impressive. I mean, he was definitely upset with this person's action, not to the point of canning them, but to the point of willing to we'll give you a shot, we'll give you some training in this area. You know, there's no reason to be rude to your employee in front of a customer and make the customer feel like garbage. I can imagine the other customer, I mean, we didn't even want to go back in there, but I can imagine the other customers seeing this happening. Now, they didn't have the interaction that we had that drew us back to that restaurant, saying, hey, this isn't really who they are, and they were sorry for this. But imagine the other customers that were just witnessing it and left and went, you know what? We're not going back there. I mean, they're just rude to their people. Why would we want to go and spend our money over there? And so we've gone back there a lot of times. Gina and I would go there and get, they typically have like their pints of pre-made custard in a freezer, and they have them for $10 or $11, whatever it is, and you just grab 4 of those to go. And we're like, they don't have the flavors we want or whatever. So this new manager, she was like just a lower manager at the time. She goes, what do you want? I'll make them for you right now. Just tell me what you're looking for. And so we shared with her, and she mixed them up for us right there. And so the next time we go back in there, we see her, she remembers us, and so she makes up the ice, you know, the custard, and we bring it home, and one of them is like, she made peanut butter. It's like, what's with that? Doggone it. So we call up over there and go, hey, Amy. And she goes, I am so sorry. She goes, you guys were heading out the door. And she's like, I'm doing something wrong, but what is it? But she couldn't figure it out, you know? And she goes, I didn't know how to get a hold of you. She goes, I know exactly what I did. I knew I was putting peanut butter in there, and you didn't want peanut butter. Come back. I'll make all new ones. Come on back. Come on. To this day, she remembers our face. We walk in the door, and she goes, okay, I think I got your order down. She starts writing it down. She goes, do I got most of this right? I mean, you know, so it's the same store. So you see the idea that, you know, you get somebody that's rude, things can change. You know, if that person can't change, they'll get somebody in there. And, you know, if that guy ever got rid of Amy, he'd be crazy because she treats her customers well. People will come back for that. You know, rude shows up in a lot of different ways. One last story, and then I'll move on. When I was working for AG, telephone company, we worked in Northlake. It was a 2.2 million square foot facility. Huge. We start to downsize. We also owned a 150, 200,000 square foot facility in Genoa, way out west. And so they were downsizing. Eventually, you know, the plan was to move us into that facility that was actually producing other stuff. And so originally no one was supposed to go with, but eventually they had to because we were making a product that they didn't make over there. So they had to take some people with. I ended up, this is all glory to God. I was the only one in my department that actually went. And so when I ended up over in Genoa, I was a one-man department. Everyone else in my department, higher, lower, didn't make any difference. They were all gone. And I ended up getting tossed in with a group of engineers, a bunch of smart people, because they were electrical engineers over basically the kind of related to the department I worked in. And my boss was a really good guy. And so he had probably, you know, 10 or 12 engineers that came over, and we got everything up and running. There was one engineer, again, talking about intellect. Remember, I was mentioning how smart people, you know, smart people, they can really be kind of rude. And it's interesting that to their own demise. So this guy was smart, and he knew he was smart. He knew his little niche area. He knew that they needed him. And so, you know, when I would deal with him, he would treat me like crap, which was not unexpected because, you know, I was not an engineer at the time. I'm not smart like this guy was. So you go, okay, what am I supposed to do? You know, I have nothing to say about that. I just, you know, try to do my best. I would reach out to other people that he worked with that knew him and say, hey, can you help me out? I'm trying to figure this guy out. The thing is, he didn't stop with treating me that way. He treated his equals that way, the people that worked with him. And he treated my boss that way, who happened to be his boss. Now imagine that. This guy was so smart, he would actually shove that in my boss's face, which happened to be his boss at the time. And you know what? My boss was smart enough to just sit on that and let him act that way. And when they were able to get a handle on what this guy was doing, and they didn't really need him anymore, they just said to him, you know what? We're going to lay you off. Take the layoff. Go get unemployment until you can find a new job. Because if you don't accept the layoff, you understand it'll be out the door. I mean, that's intelligence for you. I mean, that's your rudeness is more important to you than your intelligence level. You're so smart, you don't have the ability to not treat people rude. It's kind of crazy how people are. It's, you know, if you think of children, they don't automatically act nice. They come out of the womb demanding everything. And they don't care if you've not had any sleep. They don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If they're hungry, they will scream at you until you feed them. And if you don't feed them, they will continue to scream. And I like the way this Jordan Peterson says it. He goes, there's this maternal bond that you have with your child that keeps you from throwing it out the window at 3 o'clock in the morning when you've had no sleep and the thing is not being quiet and it's got colic and you're just lost your job and the world is crumbling around you and whatever. And then the last thing you need is a screaming child. And there's this bond there that keeps you from going insane. He said, praise God for that. But anyway, children have to be taught. Children have to be brought up in the way that they should be. They need to be taught that being rude is not appropriate. And so we also need to eventually learn this as adults, too. If we don't learn it as a child growing up, we need to learn this as adults. I mean, if we look at the way people are acting today, you know, if we look at the contention that's taking place in people with their rights, my rights, I don't care about your rights, my rights are more important than your rights. Your right to free speech doesn't exist because my right to be called something specific trumps that. So now you are compelled to call me what I tell you to call me because my rights will be infringed on. Does that make any sense at all? I mean, this is the way... And honestly, it's just the left. It's the way they act. What's that?
Preach it.
They preach it. I'm just getting wound up here. Because if you look at it, respect isn't earned. Respect is deserved. I deserve your respect, and you're going to respect me no matter how I treat you. Seriously? You got to grow up a little bit with this, you know? You're going to be rude, and then I have to treat you with respect because it's owed. I don't think so. That's not the way it works. Anyway, they lean so far to the left that everything is going to come their way or you're going to pay for it. You're going to serve them. You're going to treat them the way they want to be treated or it's going to cost you. I just saw recently that they had a... I don't know if you've ever heard of Milo Yelen... Gina told me how to say his last name and I can't think of it. Yelenopoulos, you know who he is. He is a gay gentleman married to a black guy whose mother is Jewish. So he's a Jewish gay person married to a black guy. And people come at him and call him a racist, homophobe, Nazi. Now think about that. The three things that they can't call him because he's a homosexual married to a black guy and he's Jewish, but they call him a racist, homophobe, Nazi. Okay, this is the left shouting him down. He's very intelligent and he is very conservative. So just because he has this lifestyle, he thinks kind of along the lines that a lot of people on the right think. He's very conservative. This is just a choice that he's made, okay? This isn't a right for him. He understands that. This is just his choice. He's not going to force his choice on anyone. But to have the people on the left shout him down because of that, he went to speak at a university or whatever it was, and he had a group of people that were there willing to listen to him. They filled the auditorium. Like I said, he's a smart guy. I mean, for a while, I think he worked with Ben Shapiro. If you've ever heard of him, he's very intelligent, very right-leaning, conservative, very, very intelligent guy. Milo goes to speak, and this group, they get together, and they're going to protest. Well, the left protest turns into a riot because they want to call him this homophobe, bigoted Nazi, which you go, how is this possible? To the point where he does not have the right to free speech. He doesn't have the right to preach his hate speech. So their whole protest, their whole riot was based on shutting down his hate speech to the tune of $100,000 in damage to the property of the university because of their demanding him not spew hate speech. And I'm like, wait a minute. They're the ones that did $100,000 in damage because they were fighting against his hate speech. Whose hate speech is this? I mean, you're the one doing all the damage. Why are you saying this person is spewing hate speech when you're tearing the place apart? It's insane. I'm like, okay. Yes, I'm conservative, you know, right-leaning, however you want to look at it. And then this week, God just like hit me in the face with this scripture. I'm reading along, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. In the English Standard Version, and here's what God says. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. God's word is so powerful and so true. No wonder why the left hates God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. And you know what? I'll go out on a limb here and go, you know what? God is on the inside of them. So we can talk about this later, but God is dwelling on the inside of these people, making them miserable because they don't want to have anything to do with God. God's redeemed all men back to himself. So God's on the inside of each one of these people, making them absolutely miserable. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They don't want God at all. And God's like, I'm not going anywhere. And you know, you can either cooperate or you can be miserable. But those are your two choices. And you can see how the left, they're just upset about everything. Look what's taking place. You know, they're trying to take Trump out of office. As the economy improves, as jobs improve, the black and Latino jobless rate has dropped, has plummeted. Companies are flourishing, giving their employees higher salaries, giving them bonuses, and the people that are on the left still want to impeach this guy. No matter how good the country does, no matter how much we begin to prosper and grow, they want him out. Really. It's more important to have him out than to have a flourishing economy and unity in the country. No. At our own demise, we want to get rid of this guy. Why? Because he's working? Because some of the things he's doing is actually working? Yeah, think about that for a little while.
So the university that you were talking about was the University of Berkeley, which is the
Berkeley
home place of free speech.
Okay, the place I was talking about is Berkeley, the home of free speech. And they're the ones that suffered $100,000 in damage because these people didn't want free speech.
They also have Made in America.
I was made in America too. All right, that's. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at a couple of Proverbs, and I'll try to get through this message. Praise God. Here's another good example of love is not rude. Proverbs 18:23 says, "The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly." So we're talking in the worldly sense here. The contemporary English version says, "The poor must beg for help, but the rich can give a harsh reply." The Passion Translation says it this way: "The poor plead for help from the rich, but all they get in return is a harsh response." You know, the point is, they can be rude. Money talks, and people with money have the ability to be rude if they want to. They like to keep it in their pocket rather than help people out. I've told you before, I know millionaires, and you would never know that they were millionaires because they were the most generous people, they were the most kind people. And when you have money and God in the same place, it's incredible the things that can get done. I just ran into another one this past week, and this guy is like living to pump money into the kingdom of God. Businesses and stuff he's got going on, and he's like, you know, I take my little portion, but I live to pump money into the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God flourish. People don't have to be like that, but there's the difference between rich and poor and male and female in the world. Everybody's got all of these different ideas, but in the kingdom, there isn't. There isn't all these differences that people talk about. In the kingdom, it's either God is or God is not. And that's kind of where we're back to. We're talking about love. There's some facets of that. This is what God is, and here's some things that God is not. And love is not rude, and God is not rude either. Flip back a couple of chapters in Proverbs 15, in verse 28. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." The New Living Translation says, "The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words." Wow, no kidding. It's comparing the, are you in the kingdom or in the world? You know, trash in, trash out type of thing. And you get these people that come up with these ridiculous ideas. They're completely opposite ideas of the thing I just described to you. They're calling this guy what he's doing, hate speech, at the same time that their actions are destroying a place, at the same time they're calling him these particular names of which can't even apply, but they need an excuse to just vent their anger. They don't have the ability to think through a process. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words, and you just see that. This stuff just overflows because they don't know what to do with it. They can't stop long enough to think about what they're saying. They just let that stuff come flying out of their mouth. And the lesson in there for us as believers going, you know what? Anytime I'm going to open my mouth, maybe I need to, you know, put a bridle on that and say, I'm going to pause and think about this for a second before I let loose with some words. You know, there's an old saying. It says, better to keep quiet and let everyone think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. We got to be careful at these things. You know, look at a godly, a believer versus a wicked unbeliever, as if we're comparing it in this verse here. You know, we can expect the unbeliever to be rude. They don't know salvation, the person. They don't have an intimate relationship with salvation, the person. But again, they can feel that presence on the inside of them, and it just causes all kinds of discomfort. And so, you know what? Stupid stuff comes out of their mouth. And when you hear this stuff coming out, you're like, seriously? Do you have any idea what you're saying? You'll rarely hear debates between the right and the left. You'll very rarely hear liberals debate conservatives, because conservatives have a way of thinking. They have a process. They go and they find out the facts. They list out the truths. They see what actually is working and what's not working, and that's what they stand on. The left has their opinions, their feelings, and their desires, and they can't combat the truth. And so they spew all of this stuff, and when you say, let's sit down and talk about this, now let's talk about why it is you think the way you think. Well, they can't, because they can't have a conversation with something based on facts and truth, so they just get all whiny and scream and yell. Scripture just keeps backing it up over and over again. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. You know what? You're going to get what comes out of your mouth. You will reap what you sow. Love is not rude. And there are people that are just going to continue spewing that attitude of being rude. It's kind of crazy when you see these things happening. When I was talking to Gina last night about this, and I said, you know, I looked at the definition of rude, and you can see these. I gave you a few examples of, you know, the person behind the counter being rude, and those are the things we think about. But then you think about these grand examples of the destruction that's taking place, of the way people are acting. They want to shut everything down because that's not how they feel it should be. Doesn't make any difference if it's right or wrong. It doesn't feel right, so I don't want it to be that way. And then you look at the definition of rude, where it says, lacking the graces and refinement of civilized life. Okay, you just brought that one back to my mind. Thank you. Okay, so here, look at the United Kingdom. They got this kid, Alfie, right? The kid is on... He died. Oh, great, great. He died at the expense of what? At the expense of the government. Because socialized medicine said, you know what? The government owns the child. The parent has no right over that child whatsoever. And they're going to keep him in the hospital at the government's expense. Not let him go to get treatment in another country where they're saying, we will willingly take the kid. The kid was before that. There was one, what was the kid's name before that? Anyway, he also died. And their thing was, it'll cost too much money, we can't let him go. So somebody put up a GoFundMe to raise the $100,000 it would cost to fly him to the United States, where they had doctors that said, we will treat him. Bring him here and we'll treat him. And the UK government said no, and they shut it down, saying it's going to cost too much money. Somebody put a GoFundMe for $100,000, and they hit like $5 million. So there was nothing that would stop them except the law in the UK. the United Kingdom said, you have no rights over your children. They belong to us. We decide that child dies. That's the end of it. You take them to court, which they did over and over and over, and they say the law stands. That child deserves to die. That child does not deserve to be taken by his parents for treatment. Now, we're talking about love is not rude. Give you a broader picture of that rude, lacking the graces and refinement of civilized life. This is a country that at one time was at the pinnacle of society, that everyone that owned the world, basically, they went around conquering places. There's still British influence around the world that they were so powerful. And here we have a country that is applying this rude, they lack the graces and refinement of civilized life. Really? You're willing to cause a child to die when they said, no, we're done with the child. We're going to take him off life support. Well, you know what? God had another idea. They pull him off life support. Oh, he's breathing on his own. He's still alive. Well, then I guess an injection of fentanyl will take care of that. And they were going to euthanize the kid. And they had to take him to court and say, don't give him the injection. The kid's alive. The kid's breathing. The kid's smiling. What are you trying to kill the kid for? Well, that's our decision. That's our decision. It's the government's right to rule this way. So when I was talking to my son, he said, boy, he goes, you know, you can see a lawsuit coming over that one. I said, you know what the problem is? The UK, along with 192 other countries, decided they're going to sign a UN agreement that says the government has responsibility over the children and not the parents. There's 192 countries that say you have no right over your child. The government takes responsibility of your child. Because they're trying to raise up a generation that's subservient to the government, that's totally dependent on the government. Talk about lacking the graces of and refinement of civilized life. This is a big portion of the world that is trying to take over the youth of today and raise them up the way they want them to be raised up. Talk about us needing to stand up now and to do something. This is starting to trickle into this country. They're starting to take away rights. They're starting to get into our stuff. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I'm saying, sow strife, reap strife. Sow discord, reap discord. Look at the nonsense that the government is doing. We have a mass killing take place. Okay, we have an active killer, and their response is to add a gun law. We're gonna add more gun laws in place. Okay, let's look at this from a common sense. Let's step over on the right for a moment. Let's step over on the conservative aspect. And we're going to look at this active killer and see what took place. This active killer broke 15 laws to get in to do what he did. So the answer of the government, lacking the graces of and refinement of civilized life, well, let's see. I think if we add a 16th law in place, that should do it. Okay, so what are they going to do now? Now that they're trying to take guns away from everybody. We were just talking earlier, the UK has had a gun ban for years now. They just now surpassed New York City's murder rate. The United Kingdom, where there's no guns allowed at all. Even the police don't carry guns. They just surpassed the New York City's murder rate. Insane! Insane! Because they're not going after active killers, they're going after tools. Okay, so you put all these gun laws in place, so you take guns out of the hands of the common everyday person, the law-abiding person. What are you supposed to do with the guy that hops in a van and drives a mile and a half down the sidewalk and killed, anybody hear about this? He killed 20 people and injured another 20 or 30. I don't know the exact count. I didn't catch it. When I saw that, I was just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Killed 10 and injured 15. So there you go. So you put more gun laws in, but we're going to take guns out of the hands of the average, everyday, law-abiding person. So what does that do for the guy driving his van down the street, running people over for a mile and a half? How do you stop this guy? Well, you call the police. Why do you call the police? Well, because they have guns, and they're good people, and they'll come in and stop this guy. Really? So what you're saying is, a way to stop a crazy killer is a good guy with a gun. That satisfies that, right? So then why not let people have guns? Doesn't make any sense. The way they think, the processes our government is using, they're not worried about life. If they really worried about life, if they were really concerned about life, think about this. How many babies have been aborted? toll is over 60 million people murdered. Okay, so at what point do we value life and what point do we not value life? If you ever notice, the people on the right, the conservatives, one, they want people to have guns to be able to stop these active killers and stop the nonsense that's out there. And two, they want to protect the unborn. You go on the other side, well, we don't want to do that. We'll just come up with, we feel like it's our right to be able to, what, to murder children? Okay, it's your right to murder children. And it's better that the government has control because the government knows best how to treat your children. And seriously, are you going to even put one brain cell in gear and think about these things that you're saying? Yeah, we're talking about love is not rude, and it goes a lot deeper than just being, you know, kind of smart-mouthed and whatnot. Love is not rude really goes pretty deep here. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3 says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Yeah, no kidding. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You know, to keep your mouth means to protect it, to guard it. I was talking about that. Put a filter on. We need to have a godly filter on what we say. You know, we need to filter out trash that tends to come out of our mouth. You know, we're surrounded by it all day long. We're hearing it. We're seeing it in the news. We're living our lives in the world. Yeah, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're still impacted by it. There's a potential for this stuff to come out. We have to really be careful because we don't want to fall in line with the crazy people that are out there. And it also means, you know, don't be saying things that people don't need to hear. I mean, it's insane the way people talk sometimes. The example I came up with in Scripture, Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You know, Job is going through his ordeal, right? We won't get into that, but you know, Job is suffering at this point, right? And in Job chapter 9, chapter 2, verse 9, his wife says this to him, are you going to still retain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, if there was the last thing a person needed in his situation, struggling to honor God in the midst of his struggles, in the midst of his trials, the last thing he needed to hear was his wife tell him, why don't you just curse God and die? Talk about rude. I mean, that's not what he needed to hear. So what did he respond to her? Verse 10. So he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Okay, I'm not saying anything about women or anything. That's not the point. This is just a verse saying, you know what? People can be so rude and come up with the most ridiculous things and tell people the most stupid things at times. It's like, how about if we start to put some thought process to what we are going to say before we say it? Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Here's the Passion Translation. When wisdom speaks, understanding becomes attractive, but the words of the fool make their ignorance look laughable. Let me read that one again. The Passion Translation, Proverbs 15:2. When wisdom speaks, understanding becomes attractive, but the words of the fool make their ignorance look laughable. Remember that guy I told you about that I worked with? This really, really smart guy. He was so intelligent, he looked like a fool to people. He looked like a fool to people. Because he was so ignorant in the refinement of life. He like it said here, he lacked the graces and refinement of civilized life. He didn't know how to treat people. He didn't know how to interact with people. He was superior to everyone to the point where it cost him his job. Seriously, you're not even smart enough to figure that one out? That you don't bite the hand that's feeding you? That's not going to come back on you, really? Okay, so your intelligence shows how stupid you really are. Man, we got to really be careful with some of this stuff. All right, I'll try and wrap it up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, we got to be careful. Love is not rude. I'll read Ephesians 4:31 out of the Contemporary English Version. It says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. You know, this is just all simple common sense. You know, love is not rude. Love is, you know, being rude will show up in various ways. And yeah, even in us believers, you know, trust me, we can be that way. I can be rude at times, and I have to be called on that. But let's be living, walking, breathing examples of the amazing light of Jesus that lives on the inside of each one of us. Amen. Let's walk that out. Let's see what that looks like for a while. It's so easy to be rude. It's so easy to fly off in that direction. It's all around us. We can't help but be saturated by that, but we can put a filter on ourselves. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in our heart? What's in our heart? We need to spend more time in the presence of God and have Him be working on the inside of us. And so whenever we're in any kind of a situation, even if it's something at our own fault, even if it's something dumb we've done to ourselves, and it's like, you know what, I guess I put myself in this situation, we got to stop. We got to shut that down. Let's not be rude towards God. Let's turn our face towards God and go, how do I get out of this? What am I supposed to do? Yeah, I may have screwed up, Lord, but you got a better plan for me. Your way is right, and I may have not taken that way, but you also have a plan to get me out of this. You have a plan that's going to take care of this. Yeah. I've had the opportunity, you know, people call me and ask me for prayer for something. Somebody called me up and said, hey, we have a need tonight. We got an event going on, and we have this need, and we need to hit this. Need to hit this number. And I said, God is going to do something exceeding beyond that. Just watch, because you're there. Watch what happens. And so the story I got later was when they got there to find out, you know, this event, what they were going to do, they decided they really needed to double that number. And so the number that I was originally giving, that I said, don't worry about that number, they decided we need to double that number. And so now there's this double size number that they're looking at going, we need this. And at the end of the night, they exceeded that number. They exceeded that number. I said, see what God will do when you just turn your face towards God and put your trust in God? Stop looking at ourselves. Looking at ourselves in what are we going to do in this situation? Let's look at what God's going to do in this situation. That's where we need to be focusing on. You know, so often we want to beat ourselves up because of something that we've really blown it this time, and we deserve whatever, you know, and we're going to start going down that path. Stop. Time out. What is God saying? What is God saying in that moment? God's saying, shut up. Listen to me. I love you. I got this. I'll take care of this. You're a living example of that. Going through hell. Finally, that's the end of that. And, you know, look where God's got you now. That's what we want. We want to look to see what God is doing. Even in the midst of our own stupid ideas. We do plenty of those, right? I mean, we need to start looking at people differently. We need to say, here, I'm going to throw this out there. How many here are born again? Put your hand up. We're going to go show of hands here. I know you're writing, so. Every one of you are born again, right? Each one of you got the Spirit of God on the inside. Put your hand up if you can pick a particular point in time, whether it was a day. I mean, mine was a month. I was too rebellious at the time to actually write the day down. You know, I could have had a day and a time, literally, but I can look back to a point in time that I thought I got born again at that point. Put your hand up if you can kind of nail down when your response to God was, or however you want to. Okay, pretty much everybody here. You know what? God was on the inside of you long before you ever made a decision, before you ever prayed a prayer. God was there working on your heart, and you didn't even know about it. Okay, now, so let's translate that. He was there bugging the heck out of you, trying to get you to change your mind, to realize that He has a plan for your life, that He's got something going on, that He wants to live through you, but He didn't go anywhere. He didn't run away. That's why we had to be redeemed back to God. He wasn't redeeming Himself to us. He didn't run away from us. Regardless of what Adam did, He didn't run away from Adam either. He ran to Adam. Adam and Eve, they ran away. God never left. David said, if I make my bed in hell, God says, too late, I beat you there. I'm here already waiting for you. Yeah, where are you going to run? Where are you going to go outside of the love of God? Where are you going to go? Now we're looking at us, born-again believers, right? Okay, how about those that we call unbelievers? Where's God? Is God omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent? Well, either he is or he isn't, right? If he's omniscient, then he knows everything. If he's omnipotent, then he's all-powerful. If he's omnipresent, then he's everywhere, right? So then where is he not? Is he not in an unbeliever? Is he not in an unbeliever? He's got to be there.
Keyword in.
He's in, because he's everywhere. The problem is they don't know it. The problem is they just don't know it. Now I realize when I prayed that prayer or did whatever I did, I just changed my mind. There's repentance. He gave me the opportunity to repent. In fact, he repented for me. I didn't even repent. He repented for me and changed my mind and said, I've been in here all along, doing the work in you all along. You know, when I started looking back after that point in my life that really changed, I start looking back in my life going, oh my God, he was there then and then and then, and those were angels and God saved my life there. And why? Because he was there the whole time. He didn't show up when I prayed a prayer and got born again. He was there the whole time. If we could get a glimpse of this understanding, now we're going to look at unbelievers a little bit differently. God's on the inside of them trying to do a work, and we're on the outside just trying to help them to understand God loves them. God hasn't gone anywhere. God's not going anywhere. What can they do to chase God away? What can you do to chase God away? In your biggest screw-up, will that chase God away? He's everywhere. You're not going to get away from him. You're not going to get him to hate you. He's already chose to love you. That's it. It was his decision. It wasn't your decision to love him. You responded because he loved you first. But you can't get away from that love. There is nothing you can do to change his mind. No matter how evil you are, you know, we can think of some of the most evil people and some of the most wicked things that they've done. God chose to love them anyway. Yeah, they've resisted all the way to hell. And it broke God's heart, I'm sure, that they resisted all the way to hell. But God worked on him. God gave them opportunity. God said, I'll hold your hand all the way to the gates of hell, and then I'll stand there with you until you realize that I'm right there, and the whole time you rejected me, and that's why you're in hell. It hurts so bad when you reject somebody, and they won't go away. And they won't stop loving you. You know, when somebody forgives you, and you're like, how could you forgive me with what I did? It hurts. It's hard to receive forgiveness from someone that, you know, I don't deserve that. Too bad. I'm going to forgive you anyway. That's how we think God is. We think, you know, I don't deserve your forgiveness. And, well, maybe if you do this or do that or think this or think that, then maybe God will love you. He's like, too bad. It's not up to you. I've already decided to love you. You're not going to change my mind. You're not going to make me move or run away or go do something else. I have plan one, plan A, one thing only. My decision has been to love you the entire time, and I'm not stopping now. That's his choice, and we can't come against that. Amen? All right, I could preach on for another hour. I'm just going to have to shut up at some point. I told you, he's got me all lit up, and he's doing some crazy things. And that was a little taste, so we'll see where he's going to take this whole thing. Thank you for being patient with me in this amazing move of God. God has a plan for this church. God is doing something unique here, something that other churches don't want to have anything to do with. And that's what I think God is saying. Are you willing to just come along? Are you willing to go along with the ride and see where I'm willing to take you? There is so much more of God that we have yet to experience. There is so much more of him that he wants to accomplish through us. And we just need to be willing. We don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a thing. Just let him. Just let him. When you got saved, it was just letting him. And that's what we need to do. Just give him permission. Do whatever you want to do. That's what happened several months ago. And I'm reaping that one now. Watch what you say. Be careful what you tell God, because he'll take you up on that offer. He'll rock your world if you want him to. Father, we love you. We thank you for the ability to love you because you gave that to us. We were incompetent in that too. And you knew that, so you looked down on us and you just declared your love towards us. Yep, and while we were yet sinners, in the midst of our horrific sin, deserving nothing, Lord, long before that ever happened, you chose to love us. Your word says that you don't change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will never change your mind. God, help us to renew our mind. That is really what you're looking for, is for us to renew our mind, to think the way you think. God, your word says that as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world right now. Help us to understand that, Lord. Help us to grab that with our mind and with our heart and to put that into practice, Lord. This is a truth that you've declared over us. Help us to live that out and to stop being rude towards you and denying what you have already done in us. God, it was your choice and we had nothing to do with it. You saved us before we needed to be saved. You saved us without our even deciding it. You did it without our permission because you chose to do it. We had nothing to do with that, but you just chose to because that's who you are. You are a God of love because you are love. So, Father, we just receive that. We thank you for that. God, change us into that image so that we understand how loved we are, so that people around us understand how loved they are, regardless of what they do, how they think, or how they act, that you love them. And you are on the inside of them trying to get them to change their mind, the way they think, to think the way you think. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be front runners in this new generation that's going to lead people forward, Lord, into the things that you have for us. Father, we are just here. Send us. Do whatever you want to do in us. We just say yes. We thank you that you chose us. God, we are so honored that you would choose us. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for all of these precious gifts, Lord. Continue to wow us with who you are. Continue to show up in ways that just constantly amaze us, Lord. I ask you to just light everybody up here, Lord, that they see you in a whole new light, that they experience you in a whole new way, that they can't get away from you. They can't get away from time with you, no matter what they're doing, no matter what situation they're in, no matter what place they're in, Lord, that you are there with them and that you're willing to be with them. God, open our hearts and open our minds. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.